The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Man, I've always contended, and I feel like this reality is reinforced on a daily basis, but I don't know how many people actually recognize it. The social media is a funhouse mirror for the real world. It's a distortion. It's not real. It will have you believing things that simply are not reflected in the world that you would walk around in. And once again, this past weekend, if you thought the world was reflecting social media, you were blown away by the fact that the U.S. Women's National Team equal pay suit for gender discrimination was tossed without even getting to trial. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. I hope you will. I want to have a conversation a little bit later when we return to The Last Dance about the motivation of great athletes. Michael Jordan seems to have the market cornered on pettiness, grudges, and anger, and it fueled him daily, yearly, and through a career, and interestingly, into his post-career, all the way to greatness. But is greatness always driven by an engine of anger? Did Michael Jordan just have that more than everybody else? Are there other ways the elite athletes arrive at greatness? 888-729-3776. During the commercial break, we continued on our conversation about the best movies at sea. Mike A's nomination of U571 just secured last place. That means Mike will be picking last next
first,
time.
Socialism.
That's right. Socialism first. Excuse me.
Does anyone know how this works? I don't. Why? Pat was confused. Now Will gets it wrong. What's going on here?
It's, person who finishes in last.
No, I understand. Yeah. You understand. Yeah, why does no one get it?
Bubba, you and I are the only intelligent ones. The only people that didn't have U571 last.
Yeah, good movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You just got
Will Cain had it last
break.
Or on Friday before he watched it.
Incorrect.
And Pat just
I'm very concerned.
He's a puppy.
I'm very concerned about how the votes are going to go in the final hour of the show when we pick best movie at sea, because I can already hear some belly aching about Hunt for Red October was too slow for you guys. And Nuno has readily admitted now, we're not a thinking bunch. We need action. And that's why everybody's confused that U571 got last somehow. I now know the jury that I'm arguing to. And from now on, I have to start nominating from the Moana Fast and Furious bucket if I want to win, apparently, because if you don't have something ridiculously improbable happening in the next 2 minutes, I'm out.
Listen, you had this whole long speech about why U571 didn't win, and you compared it to Run For... All right, that's fine. Pat was like, there wasn't enough tweeting, and Nuno's like, the guy dodged a bullet. I'm like, you didn't even watch the same movie.
U571 literally had a saboteur on the submarine, just like Hunt for Red October.
I understand your argument.
Do you think the writers for U571 went in there and goes, hey, Hunt for Red October was a big time hit.
Let's just put it in World War II.
Just do that one. Just make it in World War II.
I love World War II movies. They're great.
More than Cold War movies?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good genre in the future. What's the best war to mine from? For movie plots. Is it World War II? Is it Cold War? World War I is massively underrepresented, wouldn't you say? 1917, the newest from that genre. World War II is the most mined from
they
historical
have the
experience.
Easiest, they have the easiest bad guys. Nazis are bad in every sense of the, in every sense of the word. There's no redeeming quality for them. Nazis are bad. So now you already have your antagonist.
Some good Vietnam entries, though. Platoon, Full Metal Jacket.
Apocalypse
Bubba's a big
now.
Fan of Apocalypse Now, right? That's I don't know. Best, which war produced the best movies? We're going to have to do that a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. It's time for Straight Talk.
The category.
Not you. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This, late last week, a federal judge in California threw out the women's national team suit for equal pay based upon the idea of gender discrimination before it ever went to trial. There is a pretrial motion called a summary judgment. In that summary judgment motion, it is decided whether or not there's enough evidence and questions of fact to go to trial. If there is not enough to even hear arguments, they will toss it out. That is what happened to the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. It was tossed out on summary judgment. It means not enough. Not enough evidence to even proceed to an argument, to even proceed to a full trial. Now, this would be a total shock to anyone that has paid attention to not just social media, but I would imagine most mainstream media as well. Because for years, we have taken it as gospel that the women's team, A, is underpaid, B, and that is a result of gender discrimination. What that judge found was several things. He found that from 2015 to 2019, the women's national team made more than the men's team. He also found that the CBA negotiated by the women's national team with U.S. Soccer provided for a higher floor and a lower ceiling. More women with more salaries, more set in case of fluctuation. But the sacrifice on the other end was a higher end should success be reached. And of course, the women's national team reaches very high levels of success. These do not add up to either gender discrimination or even a question of whether or not there was unequal pay, and thus the judge dismissed it. Again, for many, their minds are blown because we've taken it as gospel that sexism, discrimination, is what at the heart of this issue. Michael Jr., I believe, is this from this morning, guys? Said so as much. Is this from this morning?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear Mike Golic Jr. this morning on Golic and Wingo.
That's the problem, is this has been so skewed by, at times, the knuckle-dragging sexism that sort of makes its way into these conversations, because obviously, unfortunately, at certain times. And so now that we can really look at and see and process this at the core of all this, I think we're closer to some questions that, like you said, hopefully people that have been living this for much longer can maybe help us get closer to an answer for.
What's he saying there? It's been skewed by knuckle-dragging sexism in what way? Among the fan base? I don't understand. If we're going to have a conversation about whether or not sexism exists, it should be a very short conversation. Sexism, of course, exists, just like racism exists. But acknowledging that fact does not mean it exists in every single situation that comes up that is a point of contention or debate or a lawsuit. One can do both things. Acknowledge the existence of something in the human condition and also question whether or not it applies to a specific situation that is up for question. And when it comes to the U.S. Women's National Team, it has always been much more taken as gospel that what we are seeing here is gender discrimination. And why is that? Because the level of analysis has been very shallow. It has been, hey, look how good the women's team is. Look how bad the men's team is. Why aren't the women making much more than the men? But as we saw through the numbers, most of the time the women were making more than men, even on a per-player basis. Their CBA is the reason for most of their pay structure, not gender discrimination. And if, I can promise you this, if these things were more debatable, then this would not have gotten tossed out on summary judgment. Now it's going to be appealed to the Ninth Circuit. We'll see if it's reinstated. But I think for now, I can't tell you. I am very skeptical that the U.S. Women's National Team has an unequal pay structure due to gender discrimination. I personally, that is my opinion. Okay. I'm editorializing for you right now. I am very skeptical. I've seen the numbers. I've seen how they were negotiated, and I'm very skeptical that A, there's unequal pay, and B, if there is, that it's the result of gender discrimination. But I will tell you this, it will have its chance. It's already gotten, it didn't even make its way to first base. Let me put it that way. In the legal system. In a court, in a fact-finding mission. It didn't even make its way to first base. Got thrown out on a bunt, running halfway down the first baseline. Now they're appealing to the Ninth Circuit, maybe gets reinstated, and we'll find out. But my point is that if you've been listening to media for the past several years, you would have thought it was an absolute softball pitch home run. This one's easy. They're good. The men aren't. They should be making way more, and they're not. Must be gender discrimination. That's the kind of crap that we get sold to on a daily basis in social and mainstream media. And today's, or rather Friday's, legal suit, the results of which should tell you you're getting bad, distorted, funhouse mirror information on a regular basis. Mostly because We want to believe it, and other people want to get our backslaps and likes on the way to believing something that's not true, but we want to believe. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up next, Tyrone Woodley here on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Can't get enough of Will Cain?
You have a great show, and you're a good-looking dude.
Call him at 888-SAY-ESPN.
Man, you have a great show. All right? And I always listen to you. So you're a good-looking guy.
What's the engine? What's the motivation behind an elite athlete? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jordan's intensity and hunger for basketball dominance stands in stark contrast to his mindset in the fall of 93 when he stunned the basketball world by walking away for a minor league baseball deal. Famously known to use even the smallest slight imaginable to motivate himself, when his NBA comeback in 1995 fell short in the playoffs, he worked harder than ever to return to form. Episodes 7 and 8 of The Last Dance premiere this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. I want to get into that, the mindset, all those slights used as motivation, the mindset of an elite athlete, plus upcoming events in the UFC and more with Tyrone Woodley here on The Will Cain Show. What's up, Tyrone?
How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Let's start with what you're promoting today, because I'm actually into it. Titan Games, May 25th with The Rock on NBC, huh? That's what's coming up?
Man, it was an awesome time, man. You know, I went into it with my eyes wide open. You know, just because you watch it on television and you just don't really understand the amount of taxing this is about to do to your body. But, you know, I had fun with it. I went out there and, you know, gave them all, and it was a great experience.
So I've seen the Titan Games, Tyrone, but I need you to remind me. That's a little bit like American Ninja Warrior, but American Gladiators 2, all kind of brought together. Am I describing it correctly?
Yeah, it's a little something like American Ninja Warrior mixed with Gladiator, mixed with the Tough Man contest, mixed with CrossFit, mixed with maybe play around with your mind and then throw some at you at the last minute. So it was kind of like every competition show you can think of, besides like Tough Mudder where they electrocute you. We didn't get electrocuted, but it was a lot going into this. And like, whoever thinks of these courses, they're just sitting back twiddling their finger with that little evil laugh. I'm like, who even thought of this stuff?
Is it fun? Because when I see it on TV, though, I'm like, I kind of want to run the course.
I mean, it was fun, but it's not like some people got a chance to run the course a lot. And I think those people were bruised up, beat up, sore, a lot of massage therapists on deck. So in general, I think it's great. I'm glad that I did it. You know, obviously, hindsight 2020, you can look back and like, okay, had I known how this was going to, you know, what energy systems this was going to tax, I could have trained a little differently for it, but I was just getting ready for a fight anyway. So I just basically, you know, say, all right, well, I should be in shape. Let's get it on.
Oh, but you weren't? So you found training for a fight wasn't the same thing as getting you ready for the Titan Games?
No, I'm not saying I wasn't ready. I'm just saying that, you know, I could have did some more. The fighting training helped, but, you know, a couple others added to it. You know,
I got one more question. I got one more question on the Titan Games, because I wouldn't be doing this, but the fact that I am genuinely curious. It's with Joe Thomas, by the way, and Victor Cruz as well. So these shows like Titan Games and American Ninja Warriors, they're shows. That's the thing. They are competitions, but they're shows. And what I mean by that is, as opposed to what you normally do, right, or the sports that we normally cover, you tape those things. So you're on a lot or a set, and you're taping it. I'm just curious, like, I know it's a competition, so you don't get to re-rack it, right? There's no like, okay, cut, we got to redo that. But it is a TV show as well where they want it to look good. So when you're doing it, does it feel more like a TV show or does it feel like, oh, I'm in a competition that just happens to be cameras around?
I mean, you just kind of feel like you don't know. And that's the thing. Like when I'm fighting, don't nobody come in my locker room, don't talk to me, don't breathe, don't play around, don't joke, don't laugh. We at war right now. Don't nobody say nothing until I say something. So it's a television show in the aspect that you got to do these interviews, you got to do this stuff, you got to do what they have. They need to build up the show, and then it might be like, all right, cool, get on the line, go. So like that part I wasn't ready for, and then just some of the like some small things you wouldn't even just think about, like the gripping. Do you know what I mean? Like how's your grip going to be in this particular exercise? Because some people sweat more than other people. Some people, you know, they just have a better base for this type of exercise. And also it's a lot of like, you know, I mean, how do I say this? You're putting things together, you're cutting wood. So sliding, breathing in dust. So it's like, it was a lot going on and you did not get a chance to do it over. So you get what you get, you don't throw a fit.
There we go. That's what I want to know. It's May 25th on NBC. It's the Titan Games. This is Tyron Woodley here on the Will Cain Show. So May 25th, I think 2 days before that airs, I think, are you going to be fighting? Are you going to be on, what is it, UFC? Would that be 250? What is it? Are you set to go?
I don't even know what UFC it is, but, what's funny is I sent a clip to Dana today about the Titan Game thing. He's like, oh, that's cool, dope. And I was like, oh, you just reminded me I needed to reach out because I think I'm going to go ahead and compete on that day. So I haven't made it official. I haven't signed any contracts yet. But I'm heavily leaning towards fighting 2 days before this air. So it'll be a big week this week, just promotion for the show. And then the week of the fight and then the show. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
Who you fight, Tyron?
I don't know if I can say yet.
I haven't seen it online, so I don't know if you can either. okay. Are you excited about who you're about to fight?
I'm excited to fight. To be honest, there's not a lot of guys in my division that just like, oh, my God, I can't wait to fight this guy. So it's like more so I can't wait to put on a crazy performance. I can't wait to go out there and remind people what I'm capable of and show them that I'm still the best welterweight in the world. And, you know, I think from this point, from now to the rest of my career, my focus is going to redirect to just performance. It's going out there no matter what they do. If it's a brawler, I want to out-brawl them. I want to, you know, submit the grappler. I want to knock out the KO artist. I want to out-strategize the strategist. And I just want to make it look lopsided. And if I do that, then I think it's a lot easier to focus on that than, oh, I want to fight this guy because he made me mad. He was on Twitter talking crap. You know, I don't want to do all that anymore. I had a little fun on Twitter last week, but in general, I'm really focused on performance.
Well, that's perfect. I wanted to ask you about this. So are you watching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary?
I'm going to watch it. I have not watched it yet.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this, and this will probably come as no surprise, but I'm not saying it's a revelation, but it's just, you're like, wow, I don't think I could appreciate the level. Jordan was so motivated by slights and he created them. Like, oh, how dare you mention Clyde Drexler in the same breath as me, right? Like, he was always mad, man. He was angry, 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 angry. And that's what fueled him. And it's funny you just said that about. What's that? Chip on his shoulder. Right. And, yeah. And it's fun, but it's funny you bring that up. Like, you want to focus on perfection and technique and not the other guy so much. You know, I just got back to thinking about it. I just wonder if most great athletes are fueled by some anger. You know what I'm saying? Like hatred of something or somebody. Or are there other ways you get to greatness? Are there other paths, other sources of motivation?
I mean, it depends on who athlete is. Certain athletes are fueled because it's like, you know, you're a greyhound and it's a bunny in front. You're chasing it down. So it may be a fighter who has the belt. It may be a fighter that, on paper, you know, the odds are against you to win this fight, and you strive on proving people wrong. For me, I feel like in my career, I've done so much, and I've accomplished so much in a short span of time that people have a short-term memory. So I'm constantly having to remind people of who I am and how I get down. And then it's, you know, certain fighters that think that, okay, because this is now a lot of entertainment involved in MMA, that's all you need. Just talk crap and do whatever you need to do, and that's enough. So for me, I need to remind you guys, one, I'm not the guy to play with. Two, performance is going to trump everything. So when you're trying to compare me and these other people in a non-comparison. They haven't done the same thing. They haven't won 5 world titles. They haven't, you know, set records for the fastest finishing welterweight championship history, the highest takedown defense in UFC history. You know, a lot of these accolades and these stats are never given out. So it's my job to go and make more stats and try to shatter those.
Right. Tyrone Woodley here on the Will Cain Show. Last thing, man, I'm just curious about this as well. Do you have any concerns about fighting during a pandemic, during the whole coronavirus thing? Are you worried about being in close proximity, any of that stuff?
I mean, I can't lie and say that I'm not, but I think the UFC, you know, the worst thing that can happen is fighters, you know, become infected with the coronavirus and, you know, it spreads out and some complications happen. The thing I got to think about is not really about me. I watched this video on Instagram. It's not about me. I got a strong immune system. Literally before the lockdowns and all the pandemics, I was in Asia. I was in Thailand before it really, really got rampant. And I just started boosting my immune system. So I've been literally on emergency, airborne, vitamin C, vitamins, you know, allergy pills. I've been on that for so many months that I don't think that if I did contract it, I think I'll be able to fight it off. But I also have kids. I also have a mom that's over 70, and that's what I'm concerned about. So Right. You can't just selfishly think about yourself. So there is some concern there, but I'm going to just go out there, you know, pray, put the blood of Jesus over me and just pray that I can go out there and do my thing, get in, get out, and, you know, don't come back with something I didn't enter in there with.
All right, man. Well, I wish you luck with that on May 23rd and with the Titan Games on May 25th on NBC. I really enjoyed talking to you, Tyrone. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So let's go more into that. That mindset of a champion is it often or always driven by anger, a chip on your shoulder, hatred. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Did you know that you can listen to the Will Cain Show on your smart speaker? Just tell it to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Because you have a monopoly on the truth.
Thank you.
Don't worry. More from Will Cain coming up.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Could have taken any one of these guys off because it was that damn deep.
We would have waltzed to the golden Barcelona.
I mean, we're with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, but clearly it was Michael's team.
How was Isaiah Thomas not on that team?
That's a good question.
If you're the Pistons, you're going to burn some bridges when you're the most hated team, one of the most hated teams of all time. I think for Isaiah, it's probably difficult because he was the one guy talented enough to be on that team. And so guess what? There's a price to pay.
Does every GOAT, or better yet, every champion, have to be driven by anger and hatred? Because Jordan sure was. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. And you should tune into The Last Dance as it continues to air this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to Jalen Jacoby's After Show podcast featuring The Last Dance director Jason Hare, available every Sunday night immediately after the show. Listen to Jalen Jacoby, The After Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Jason is scheduled to join The Will Cain Show tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Hey, would you do this for me, Mike A., whoever's drawing up sound today? I'm curious. I just heard that in the bump-in of Rod Thorne on Golic and Wingo talking about Isaiah not being on the Dream Team. I never fully heard that sound. I'd like to hear what he said about why Isaiah wasn't on the Dream Team. I know he said in that cut we just played, that's a good question, but did he ever come back with an explanation? That's one of the most fascinating things about, honestly, the whole documentary series, The Last Dance, like the hatred Jordan had towards Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he said literally he hated Isaiah Thomas. Better yet, let me change that because that was past tense. He says, no matter much I hate Isaiah Thomas, he's the second best point guard of all time. That was last night in episode 5 or 6, whichever one. He said, after Magic Johnson, it's Isaiah Thomas, no matter how much I hate him. So he still does. He still carries it. And Jordan always, man, it doesn't matter. Somebody tells him that Dan Marley, he believes that Jerry Krause thinks Dan Marley's a great defender. Destroy Dan Marley. Hate Dan Marley. Somebody mentioned that Clyde Drexler in the same breath as Jordan when they approached the NBA Finals. Destroy Clyde Drexler. Tony Kukoc drafted by the Bulls. Jerry Krause likes him a lot. Scotty hadn't gotten paid. Destroy Tony Kukoc. By the way, they called him Tony Kukoc and Tony every which way you could pronounce that name. They did in 1992, apparently. But it didn't matter who it was. Isaiah Thomas, Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, Dan Marley, Isaiah Thomas, on and on. Tony Kukoc. Jordan, not just then, but now, has this edge, this hate, this anger that propelled him, man. But I thought Scott Van Pelt's one big thing last night, I was listening to that, was interesting, because it's like, as much as we all want to be like Mike, I did. I mean, geez, I think I wrote a school paper about it. Everybody did, though. Everybody loved it. Had the shoes. If you were my age, bought the Gatorade out of the glass bottle, clicked the tin aluminum top over and over and over until your parents said stop. We all wanted to be like Mike. Were we right? Here's Scott Van Pelt last night on his one big thing.
For someone who still so clearly holds grudges, who still wakes up looking for a fight, leaving the fishbowl existence wasn't as necessary as the need that led to it in the first place. To win everything at all costs. Feelings and friendships be damned. The list of those who fueled his competitive rage because they were compared to him or stood in his path or won an award he felt he should have won seems endless. Isaiah, Clyde Drexler, Charles, really anybody from that era. Jordan himself expressed concerns to the film's director that people wouldn't understand why he was so intense, that they would think he was a horrible guy, that they wouldn't understand it. I get why he was that way as a player. It was a means to an end. But it's never gone away. More than a decade ago, when he went into the Hall of Fame, you saw it and you heard it. Adrian Wojnarowski, then of Yahoo, called Jordan's speech petty and punitive. Woj quoted another Hall of Famer on that night. MJ was introduced as the greatest player ever, and he's still standing there trying to settle scores. The seeming lack of joy over what it earned him makes me wonder, in the end, if we'd want to be like Mike at all.
It's fascinating. Is every great one? I said this earlier on the show. Motivated by anger? I've got two sons, both pretty good at soccer. I'm not talking about world class. I'm not talking about pros. But both motivated very differently. One, the traditional anger, you know? Mad. Let's get everybody. And does. The other, not. But like, even keel, doesn't get up, doesn't get down. Doesn't quit, ever. 9-0, grinding. Game's not over till the clock's hit zero. But never angry. I'm just wondering, is anger the only way you get there? Adam in Missouri, what's up, Adam?
Well, big fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
I just have to disagree with the anger aspect. I just feel like when you get angry, I know you've probably gotten angry, you kind of lose your cool, you lose your focus. So I just think these competitors who have a chip on their shoulder, I think it's more driven by proving the naysayers versus anger. Especially, you just had the interview with Woodley. If he got angry in the ring, he'd lose all his technique and concentration. So I'm kind of against the anger aspect.
I see what you're saying, because anger sounds like it's unfocused, right? But I think it's something that can be honed and focused. What I'm more talking about, and I appreciate the call, Adam, I'm just curious, like, are there greats? And maybe, like, Roger Federer, right? He's probably the greatest tennis player of all time. Is he driven by that same chip, that same anger? Or is he driven by a sense of perfectionism? Tiger Woods seemed to be pretty angry to his competition. I just don't know. I think, are there other paths on your way to the top? I'm genuinely curious. I genuinely am. So, Bubba, I understand you guys pulled that Rod Thorne sound I wanted to hear real quick. Can I hear that? Why Isaiah Thomas didn't make the Dream Team?
I guess the follow-up would be, Rod, if he didn't say that and never said that supposedly, how was Isaiah Thomas not on that team?
That's a good question. You know, because Isaiah was a great player, a fantastic player. You know, there had been some controversy with the Pistons, regarding not shaking hands, with the Bulls. There was some bad blood, obviously, there. You know, Reggie Miller was a tremendous player then. James Worthy, Dominic Wilkins, and three or four other guys that had big consideration. We had long list of players that we initially looked at as to whom we would you know, choose, and we pared it down, you know, reasonably quickly. You know, Chuck had a list of guys, Coach Daly, Chuck Daly, you know, he came in with the list of guys. It was pretty much the same list that we had, and, you know, Isaiah certainly was on that list. But, you know, when we ended up, you know, going with the first 10 guys, you know, he did not end up making the team.
Okay, well, there's how it ended, and that's one of the grudges Michael Jordan has held. 888-729-3776. Is that the only path to greatness? Let's get back into quarterbacks and who's got the best two-deep position in the NFL. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
The Will Cain Show is everywhere you are. On your radio, your computer, your phone, or just tell your smart speaker. Play ESPN Radio. More Will Cain coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Ones and twos. Who's got the best two deep in the NFL? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Andy Dalton is the new backup quarterback in Dallas. Make no mistake, he is the backup quarterback, and probably now the best backup quarterback in the NFL. Does that give the Dallas Cowboys the best two deep at the position across the league? Who else is in the running? The Colts? The Saints? I'll give you my two deep ranking here in just a moment on the Will Cain Show. But I was just talking about the mindset of champions. Is it always fueled by anger? And our buddy Ben Hartsock played at Ohio State and in the NFL, called in. He wanted to let us know, Ben, what's up, man? Is it always anger? Is it always like Jordan? He just had more than everybody else?
Man, I'm going to tell you, watching these documentaries has made me feel like a kid again. You know, like you get to be, I'm chasing down 40 right now, and you get to be an adult and you just kind of forget that feeling you have when you're, I mean, I was 12 years old when Jordan was winning that 92 championship, and it's just been fun to watch that, to have that emotion. My wife was laughing at me last night because I was like a kid again. It's just been so fun. But I've enjoyed your perspective on what fuels players, Will, because I got to watch some of the greats. I was a teammate with Peyton Manning. I've sat with Brett Favre. And here's the thing. I've watched different players be motivated by very different things. And I'll lay out a couple examples, and you can pick one and kind of chase a rabbit hole. But Peyton Manning, he wasn't motivated by that hate, but he wanted to chase perfection.
Okay.
Practice was serious. We did our walkthroughs, and Peyton Manning wanted to, we videoed them. And we didn't just video them, we went back through and we analyzed our footwork on the walkthrough. And he was never one of those, it wasn't the same motivation as Jordan. It was simply, he knew he was the greatest and wanted, or one of the greatest and wanted to be the greatest, and wanted to chase that day in, day out, day after day.
So he wasn't chasing recognition. He wasn't chasing domination of another human being. He was chasing this other intangible idea and impossible to achieve. He was chasing perfection.
You heard it when he talked about at his retirement ceremony. I loved his retirement speech. He said he'll miss the huddle. He'll miss the plane ride. He was a guy that truly enjoyed the journey. He knew that he was going to achieve greatness, but he truly allowed himself to enjoy that journey. And so I was, you know, a giant fan of his, having been a teammate for a couple of seasons. But then I got to meet Brett Favre, and I wasn't his teammate, but we sat at a conference together, and he told stories. Everybody knows Brett Favre, how he tells these stories, right? And his eyes lit up when he was talking about the game that ended his career when he was with the Vikings. Wasn't supposed to be playing because of the concussion, but it was the forecast of snow. And I watched Brett Favre's eyes light up like a kid on Christmas morning. And so I look at him and I said, he truly was a kid playing, he was a grown up playing a kid's game. And he just loved playing.
He was just having fun
playing in that last game. And he said, when I heard that there was a forecast of snow, I had to play. They weren't going to be able to stop me. So he was just a guy that loved the game and loved going out and playing it.
Right.
Greg Olson was a teammate of mine. I played 3 years in Carolina with him. Greg Olson was raised by a state championship winning football coach and his dad. And Greg Olson, he wasn't motivated to try to earn the love of his dad, but his dad raised him in an environment where you want to be the best. And Greg was a competitor. If I were to pick one of those guys that was most wanting to stand on a throat, I'd say it'd probably be Greg. But he's not that edgy, hate-filled guy. It's just, if you're going to be good at something, you might as well be the greatest. And he was doing that out of respect, I think, for his dad. Right?
So that's
awesome.
Everybody's
got these different motivations. My own experience, well, I played 10 years in the NFL, and I only, was a starter for one of those years. I was motivated by fear. I was
yeah,
so
I believe
scared
that.
My first couple of years of my NFL. I played so tight because I didn't want to blow this opportunity to change my life and to live this dream
right. That
I played tight. And it wasn't until I controlled that and was able to use it in a more healthy way, but it motivates you. Fear, my fear of Julius Peppers helped me to go out and do extra wind sprints on the treadmill. Shoot, I was a nutrition guy. I weighed my food. I still do it. I'm like institutionalized. So everybody's motivated by very different things at the highest level.
Yeah, I hear you. That's good stuff. I think most people in life, by the way, if you just said dartboard, biggest returns, I think fear is what motivates most people. I got to run, Ben, because I'm up against a hard break. I appreciate you calling in. I love the perspective. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Yep.
That's Ben Hartsock, 10 years in the league, played at Ohio State as well here in the Will Cain Show. So fear, perfection, the pride of your father, or for Jordan, domination, anger, some sense of hatred. I think it's fascinating. A great passed away, Don Shula. Let's hear from the columnist who covered him for a long time, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.